Good evening, everybody. That song, Come Thou Fount, you know, at Grace University, the joke was that just rang so true. As a student, you're trying to scrape enough money to pay for college. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. So that was the joke, no. Welcome here. It's almost like there's something else going on tonight, you would think, but good to be here tonight. As we study another life in our series, Bible Bios. Last week we looked at the life of Barnabas, and I love Barnabas. My wife's not here, so I can say the next son we have, Barnabas is the name, I tell you. No, Barnabas was, forgot she's watching online. Oh boy. Okay. Barnabas was a great guy. And tonight we're, gonna look at the life of Priscilla. We're gonna look in this series at, some men from the Bible and some women from the Bible and try and kind of go back and forth. Here's the deal. Nobody in the Bible is perfect except for Christ. And so every human that you study, it kind of leaves you like some inspired, but, all of them, you kind of realize no one is perfect. We're hungry for Christ. So tonight, Priscilla, really an amazing, amazing woman, in the New Testament. Now this is, a bit of a technicality, because really anytime you talk about Priscilla, you have to talk about her husband too, Aquila. The two go hand in hand. Priscilla's mentioned 7 times in the Bible, and every time it's in the context of she and her husband, which tells you something about, I think, their marriage and their life. I mean, these two go together. They love each other, it seems, and they're working for the gospel together. But we studied a guy last week, so we're going to emphasize a gal this week, and we learned some things about her. The Bible actually uses 2 different names to describe this woman. Luke calls her Priscilla, while Paul calls her Prisca. So I thought that was interesting. More biblical support for my conviction that we should embrace nicknames. So last time, Barnabas, of course, was his nickname. We get to know Priscilla through the ministry of Paul. Turn your Bibles to Acts 18. That's where we learn a lot about Priscilla and her husband Aquila. Paul comes into their lives, and Paul's traveling everywhere, sharing the gospel, planting churches. He finds his way eventually to Corinth. And I think if I could have some help going to the next slide here. He goes to Corinth, not exactly like the bastion of holy living, all right, in Corinth, which is exactly the kind of place that Paul's going to go plant a church. I mean, you think of like, hey, let's go plant a church in Las Vegas or something. I mean, Paul's like, let's go. These people need Jesus. And so the perfect place to plant a church in Paul's mind. Paul befriends a Jew named Aquila and his wife Priscilla. We read again in Acts 18 their story. Let's look in Acts 18 verses 1 through 3. After these things, he, Paul, left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. Okay, so Aquila is a Jew, and he grew up here in Pontus, this kind of region up here. But one of the things you learn about Priscilla and her husband Aquila is that they travel a lot. Some people are like that. They like to move around a lot. Perhaps had to do with their business, don't know. But they travel a lot. From the Bible, we learn they lived in, he's from Pontus, that we find them in Corinth, in Ephesus, and in Rome. Interestingly, each place that we see them, they have a home. And so maybe they're just always buying a new home, or maybe they're a little more wealthy and they've just got all these houses. I don't know. But whatever the case, it does seem that they are a little more well-to-do. in Ephesus and in Rome, the houses that they owned were big enough to host a church. And so that's fascinating to me. Paul also is a tent maker, although probably a better idea is a leather worker. And they've got a lot in common. So here's some of the things they have in common. They love Jesus. They're Jews. They're new to Corinth, and they work with leather, and they travel a lot. So they're cut from the same cloth, as it were. So Paul, he's moonlighting as a tent maker, and he starts to work with them. Did you see that? They were working. It's kind of like they're working together here. And Paul comes to live with them. He stayed with them. How'd you like to have Paul living in your basement, right? I mean, that would be amazing, just to, like, after work, you're chatting about theology. A pastor would find that amazing anyways. So Paul's living with them. We see here that they recently came from Italy because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. Well, why had Claudius commanded that? What's the story? Well, I'm glad you asked. In AD 41, Tiberius Claudius Caesar Augustus Germanicus, or Claudius for short, was getting sick and tired of the Jews. And so in Rome, they couldn't stop making disturbances. Claudius was getting really annoyed, so he takes action and he says, you know what, that's it. Just get out. All the Jews, y'all leave. There's a Roman historian, Suetonius, and he writes about this. He said, quote, since the Jews constantly made disturbances at the instigation of Crestus, he expelled them from Rome. Well, probably the right way to see that is that this Crestus is a misspelling of Christos. So likely what's happening is, I mean, anywhere Paul goes, he's sharing the gospel and people are leaving the synagogues and following Jesus. But that causes a real disturbance between Jews and the new Christians. And so likely what you see is that Emperor Claudius is seeing this and he's like, you know what, that's enough noise, that's enough disturbance, y'all just get out. So the Jews leave Rome. Now, here's what's interesting. Is it possible that Priscilla and Aquila, I mean, I'm kind of, this is possible here. Are they possibly some of the ones that, like, they are sharing the gospel and they're at the center of this disturbance? That's possible. Anyways, Paul comes and stays at their house. But he's not a tent maker at heart. He's a missionary. He's a missionary at heart. So watch what happens. He's going to the synagogue and he's debating with the Jews. And watch what happens next in Acts 18. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. So Paul, he leaves Priscilla and Aquila's house at this point, and he gets a new house. No joke, next door to the synagogue. You gotta love Paul. I mean, he gets kicked out, and he's like, okay, I'll set up shop next door. You guys can come and see me here. So Paul's gonna move on. He continues from Corinth. He goes around planting churches. Next stop is Ephesus. But as he leaves Corinth, who does he bring with him? Watch verse 18. Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brethren and put out to sea for Syria, and with him were Priscilla and Aquila. Now, notice something here. Priscilla and Aquila. Sometimes what we find is that Priscilla's name actually comes first. Which is, why is that? Why would you find the woman's name first? Some people think that this is because Aquila married up. And so perhaps Priscilla is comes from wealth and a high standing in society. So perhaps Aquila is kind of like he's marrying up. So Paul comes to Ephesus with Priscilla and Aquila. They land in Ephesus. But Paul eventually, you know, he goes somewhere else. But there in Ephesus, Priscilla and Aquila stay, and someone comes. Someone comes. This is a man named Apollos. So listen to what happens next in Acts 18, verse 24. Now, a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. And this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. So Paul, pause here. Notice like a couple things about this guy, Apollos. He's eloquent and he's mighty in the scriptures. I take that to mean he's competent, like he knows his stuff. He knows his scriptures. And he has been instructed in the way of the Lord. So he knows some things. He's been mentored. He's fervent in spirit and he's speaking and teaching accurately. So this is like thumbs up for this guy, Apollos. But he's off on one thing. He's off on baptism. All he knows about is the baptism of John. He's lacking some teaching, a correct understanding, a complete understanding, I should say, of what baptism is. And that's kind of a big deal. Like, baptism is not a minor doctrine. But Apollos is behind the times. So what you have is Priscilla and Aquila, they're both listening to him speak. And it's kind of like, wow, this guy's great. Like this, he's eloquent. He's been taught. He's teaching accurately. Oh, wait a minute. There's something incomplete here about what he thinks about baptism. And so watch what happens next. It says, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. This is amazing to me. There's some courage here to correct some theology that is off. What we see is both of them together pull Apollos aside, and they address Apollos. I don't think it's just that Aquila is speaking and Priscilla is nodding her head. Like, I think this is a conversation. They're addressing Apollos together. So what does that tell you about Priscilla? If Apollos is mighty in the scriptures and Priscilla, along with her husband, are kind of correcting some theology here, that tells you that Priscilla knows something about the scriptures as well. I think it tells us that she is mighty in the scriptures. So I just a little application point here. Christian women can and should be diligent theologians. Should be diligent theologians. Now, the Bible is very clear about men and women in the church, the different roles that they can have. Should a woman serve as elders? No. 1 Timothy 3 says an elder should be a male. He should be the husband of one wife. Should the women give the sermons in the context of the church? No. 1 Timothy 2, Paul says, I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. So being a teaching elder in the church, I don't think is what God would have in mind for a woman. But this does not mean that women should never speak to men about God or theology or truth. I think we would be really mistaken if our understanding of these things were to say that godly men have nothing to learn from godly women. That is not the case. God uses women, people like Priscilla, to speak with theological accuracy within the church community in a good way. So I just really think that the church and the world needs women who think deeply about God and deeply about the scripture. You might say who are mighty in the scriptures, women who study their Bibles and study their commentaries and think through, how do I answer these difficult questions with the Bible? The church needs women like that. Here's an example of this. When I was in Texas, Elizabeth and I, there were a couple months. There's a season that of life that was particularly difficult for us. Just personal life was hard and ministry was hard. And God used an older woman in the church, her name was Vicky, to really encourage Elizabeth and I. She was one, I led the youth ministry as part of what I did down there. She was one of our youth volunteers. And just more than once, just in conversation, as we're going through life together, she would share a verse or share truth from God's word just in conversation that encouraged us and maybe even helped us think better about things. I needed Vicky to be spiritually mature and mighty in the scriptures, because in the context of our community, she helped. I can remember when I would teach the youth group. We were meeting in a living room at the time, and we'd just gather together after the lesson, and we'd have some discussion questions and talk about it. And Vicky would share an amazing observation about the text, and it was helpful. So the church needs women to be spiritually sound and theologically sharp, like God used, I think, Priscilla to help shape Apollos and his theology. Okay, so Priscilla and her husband, Apollos, together, they explain to Apollos the way of God more accurately. Now, we hear about Priscilla other times in the New Testament. Three other times in the New Testament, actually. She actually comes up in four separate books of the Bible. She comes up here in Acts, then in Romans, then in 1 Corinthians, and then in 2 Timothy. And we learn things about her in some of these other ones. First, let's look at 1 Corinthians 16:19. Says this, Paul writes, and he's kind of concluding. He says, "The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house." Okay, so we learn a couple of things about Priscilla here. First, again, they have a house that's large enough to be hosting a church. Probably that means either she's coming from wealth or their tent making business had gone really well. Second, notice they're sending greetings back to Corinth. And so they had lived there. Remember, that's where Paul had met them. And so they've got relationships and they're wanting to develop those. Third, they're hosting church in their house. Like, picture hosting the church, the weekly church gathering in your house. This says something about Priscilla's hospitality and Aquila's hospitality. They're inviting people like Paul, traveling missionaries, into their house. They're having church in their house. I think that's amazing. Think about this. Even in Ephesus. In Ephesus, there had been this massive riot, and there's kind of an angst against Christians there. So imagine hosting a church and saying, "Yeah, we're the Christians. Yeah, it meets at our house." It takes some guts. But they actually host church in another city as well. At some point, Priscilla and Aquila move back to Rome. Eventually, the Jews are allowed to come back to the city. So that's what they do. Now, they're tent makers, but that's not really what they are. They're missionaries. Like, they want to plant churches. Listen to Romans 16, again, as Paul's writing a letter, and he mentions them. "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also, greet the church that is in their house." You can't stop Priscilla from having church in her house. she's having church in her house all the time. I love it. Can you tell that Paul is pretty close to these two? You see that in a couple ways. He's thankful for them. He calls them his fellow workers. They travel together. They work together. They live together. They suffer together. I mean, these are people that he loves. Notice what he says. These two who for my life risked their own necks. Now, we don't know exactly what this is referring to, but we do learn something about Priscilla. She is a risk taker. She's willing to risk her life, risk her own neck to save Paul's life. So we don't know the exact story, but I think that's so amazing. Notice that Paul is thankful for these two. But look at this. It's not only Paul. Not only do I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles. Isn't this awesome? Like, this couple is a cool couple. Like, they're part of the ministry of the church expanding throughout the first century. Notice this also. Paul calls them my fellow workers. Now, don't miss that, because that's actually a really big thing for Paul to say. Paul only uses that phrase of his most trusted co-workers. He uses it of Timothy and Titus and Luke and Mark. Those are his fellow workers. And now, Priscilla and Aquila. They're fellow workers for Christ. So, I think Priscilla has title's the wrong thing, but kind of label. Paul says this is a fellow worker in the gospel. Is she an elder in the church? Is she giving the sermons? No, she's not. Does she have an immense impact for the gospel? Yes. Is she a fellow worker of the Apostle Paul? Yes. I think that's amazing. One last point here. And this is admittedly speculation. Okay, so the speculation hat. But one commentator said something really interesting. So Priscilla and Aquila, they're in Rome. Okay, so Paul's writing to the Romans. They're living in Rome. And he writes this, quote, "Their presence in Rome may indicate that they had informed Paul of the problems occurring in the Roman churches, which implies that they bore influence on the content, tone, and rhetorical strategy of the letter." Now, that is speculation. Okay. But it's interesting. It's possible you have Priscilla and Aquila, and they're living in Rome, and they're corresponding with Paul, and they're saying, "Paul, you gotta address some of these things when you write." So perhaps they're even shaping what gets talked about in the book of Romans. I think that's speculation, but an interesting idea. Okay. Couple application points, we'll be done. Women, the church needs sound, diligent women to be theologians. The church needs women who are theologically savvy, who know their Bibles, who are laborers for the gospel. I love walking in. We see all these signs for the women's ministries as we walk in the doors tonight. Different ways that women in our church are laboring in the gospel. We have an amazing Lift ministry. Christy and Nancy and others at times teach. The church needs women to know their Bibles and to teach the word. I was just thinking also as well, Sunday mornings, as you walk up and down the halls, a lot of the Sunday school teaching that happens is from women in our church. Our church needs you. So praise God for the women in our church who do that. I think even from Priscilla, women have a voice in helping the church stay theologically accurate. Women, if you hear the pastor saying something that's a theological heresy, you can say something about this. So women, aspire to be someone like Priscilla. Young men, I would say this. This is the kind of woman you ought to be looking for. Aquila married up, I think, in more ways than one. perhaps Priscilla has money, but she's a godly woman. And so, young men, look for someone like this to marry. Then note the last application point. Note the hospitality. Boy, that's something I need to work on. But let's open up our homes like they did. So, a lot to learn from a woman like Priscilla. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word, and thank you for godly examples of Christians throughout the church. I pray that we together, men and women alike, would be seeking to further the gospel. And we thank you, Lord, for the women in our church who know the word and who are such a key part of our church here. So we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Daryl?